Good morning, church.
Good morning.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue.
If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through,
there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land.
Look by faith and see it, my friend.
Trust in his promises grand.
Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all
be faithful.
Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song.
Sing and be happy today. Often
we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain.
There are others living in sin,
blessed with earthly gain.
Take new courage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring.
When the dark clouds vanish away,
then your heart truly can sing.
Sing and be happy.
Press on
to the goal.
Trust him who leads you.
He will keep your soul.
Let all
be faithful.
Look to him and pray.
Lift your voice and praise him in song.
Sing and be happy today.
Often we feel
the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky.
When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by,
there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold.
If we hope and trust him each day,
we shall be pleasures untold.
Sing and be happy.
Press on
to the goal.
Trust him
who leads you.
He will keep your soul.
Let all
be faithful.
Look to him and pray.
Lift your voice and praise him in song.
Sing and be happy today.
Amen. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to be together today. We pray that as we sing, that as we be happy, that we focus on where that happiness comes from. We pray that we focus on you, on your amazing sacrifice, Lord, not by what we have done, Lord, but by your grace. And we pray that we continue as we worship today to remember that sacrifice and go out into the world this week and focus on you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, if you can stand and sing with me. We're going to do a little bit more of our worship singing today to hopefully help Steve Kenny as he's getting over laryngitis. So we're going to do a little bit more worship, and I want us to focus on that sing and be happy, that he is the reason for our songs.
You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody, you are the harmony.
Praise to your name I will bring.
You are the Lord of lords, you are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings.
So now I give back to you the song that you gave to me.
You are the song that I sing. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony.
Praise to your name I will bring.
You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God.
You are the King of all kings.
So now I give back to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground.
Amen. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, you are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are truth, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace.
light of the world, forever reign. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Holy, holy.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Holy, holy.
I want to see you.
You may be seated. Before communion, I'd absolutely love this song before communion. To really focus on our Lord. Jesus is our Lord.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Precious is
he.
He that cometh, I will love him. I will serve him.
When he comes with shouts of glory, I will join him. Alleluia. still loves me. Me, the sinner, what a sorrow if I lost him. But he owns me. Me, the sinner, praise our Jesus. Alleluia.
Amen.
Good morning. I just want to share with you two conversations that I had this week that are kind of the epitome of, you know, Jesus followers conversations, with one with someone that I didn't know at all and one with a family member. But they're kind of the epitome or examples of witnessing or sharing Jesus that we run into today. The first was Monday morning. Sarah had to be at Duke University. Nothing's wrong. She wanted to go get something checked out. Everything's fine, but that has nothing to do with this story. Obviously, I'm going to probably have to explain that afterwards through a bunch of people that ask me, but she's fine. So she leaves Monday morning. I normally give Ella, our youngest daughter, a ride to school every morning. And since she's little, we always say the Lord's Prayer, right? So we start off, and I turn off the radio, and my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we go through it, and we say it together. Well, because Sarah wasn't there on Monday, after I gave her to ride to school, I had to come back and give Lila a ride to school, who's my stepdaughter, right? She's in ninth grade, and she comes to church, and we talk about the Bible a lot. But I had never really prayed with her. So I get in the car, and I feel like, man, I do it for Ella. I should do it for Lila. And I thought, you know what? I'm a little embarrassed. Well, I'm just going to turn the radio off and just do it. So I turned the radio off, and she just jumped right on. I said, okay, you need to learn the Lord's Prayer. And as I was explaining to this, it hit me. I told her, I said, listen, when I get scared, I say this. You know, I start saying the Lord's Prayer. And when I'm done with that, you know, I'll start saying, you know, trust in the Lord. When I'm scared, I'll trust in the Lord. Or nothing is impossible to God. So that's what I do when I get scared. Even as an adult, we get scared. And then it occurred to me that that's probably the most valuable thing that I will ever give to Lila. But she jumped right on it, and she repeated it back to me, and hopefully her and Sarah start to do that. So that was one instance where I just didn't feel comfortable, but went ahead and did it, and it turned out wonderful. The second instance, I get a call from Sarah on Wednesday. And they're having a conversation at work, and there's a person there that she says, Mark, this guy's an evolutionist. I want you to talk to him. And I didn't even know who it was, didn't even know the name. And the guy says, and he's a younger guy, he's very polite. And I said, again, this is like witnessing on two ends of the, you know, you're witness to somebody who already believes there's a God. Now you're witness to somebody who's an evolutionist. And I said, he said something about Darwinism, evolutionists, and I got this, and it reminded me of my story of how I became a Christian. You know, I went to church my whole life, and I believed in God, but it wasn't until I watched a video about evolution that really convinced my brain that, wait, this is true, there is an intelligent designer. So I just told him, I didn't make this up, I told him the story that I have, since then I've done some research, and anybody that knows, one of my brothers, Brian, is heavily into evolution, disputing it. It's called Answers in Genesis. If y'all haven't read these books or follow these processes, you should. But here is a great response. And again, I can't take credit for it. It's kind of my go-to because it's so simple. And he starts talking about evolution, and I say, well, you know, you realize all of science will never, you know, science actually proves the Bible. That's absolutely the truth. The more, you cannot disprove the Bible. And that's what I started off saying. I said, now, let's think about life. Life is, science will, is absolutely, does not prove. In fact, science has proven that life cannot spring from non-life. And I know that I won't take up too long this, so I'm almost done. I won't bore you. So I tell the guy, listen, that life does not come from non-life. In other words, you believe that there was a big bang, an explosion, and from that chaos came a warm rock. The warm rock cooled down and created an atmosphere and caused rain and called warm puddles of primordial soup, which created somehow, according to Darwin, Darwin had a couple theories, he only got one of them right, by the way, that from this warm primordial soup came one single cell, which, by the way, is a one in 3 billion code, which never would have happened. You have more of a chance of a tornado going through a junkyard and putting a car back together. It's 1 in 3 billion, than just randomly, accidentally creating a cell. But aside from that, this person I was talking to said, you believe that this warm rock with just the periodic table elements got warm in a puddle of water, created a cell. That cell began to swim, multiplied, began to swim. The fish became a snake, the snake grew legs, the lizard grew wings, the wings became a monkey, and a monkey became a man. So you really believe that our ancestors is a rock. My grandfather is a rock. If you choose to believe that, that's okay. I'm not here to disprove you. I'm just telling you, because salvation is an element of faith, that it always will be. I'm just telling you that what I believe makes more sense than what you believe. Both require an element of faith. My simple point is, if we see, here's a simple statement, the fact that there is a design proves that there's a designer, an intelligent designer. If we see a beautiful portrait, a painting, we know that there is a painter, that paint didn't get there by accident. So you have to have more faith to believe in evolution than you do to believe in an intelligent designer. So that was just an example, struck me as a, and since we're trying to waste time here because Steve has laryngitis, that two different ways, and I really do believe our children are being really, the science is being misrepresented in the schools, and it really is a good way of witnessing. The science arguments are such a great way of witnessing. But we are here, if you haven't joined us, I'm going to shut up now. We're here for communion, and remember what Jesus sacrificed. So if everybody has the bread and the juice, if you would pray with me now over the bread. Father, we thank you for your sacrifices. When you took this bread and you said, do this in remembrance of me, we're doing this now to honor you and honor your sacrifices and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray with me over the juice. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you for your sacrifices. And please be with us this week. We thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We still do our offering. It's not the same way. We don't pass around the plate. There is a plate in the back. We also do it online. Let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for the resources that you've given us. All of our wealth comes from you. It's not our money. We're just stewards of your money, Father. Please bless this church. Please give us the wisdom to apply those resources out in the community in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we go to the kids' class, I think I'm going to need some help. Can I get anybody to come up here and help me? Any kids to come up and help? Come on, come on, come on. Do you guys know this song? It's called I've Got the Joy. Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Yes?
I do.
Yeah, Daddy's been singing it at home.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
The words are up here and they're also up here if you need them. Okay, we're going to sing it together. Ready? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where? Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Good job, guys. Thank you so much. All right, now we can go to classes as we sing. Good job. Thank you for helping me, guys. All right, now if we could stand and sing as the kids go to class. Oh, that's the wrong note. Sing, amen, amen, rejoice, amen, amen. Glory be to God, amen, amen. Sing, amen, amen, rejoice, amen, amen. Glory be to God, amen, amen. When the Lord shall come again, let the people sing, amen, amen. When the Lord shall come again, let the people sing, amen, amen. Sing, amen, amen, sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Sing, amen, amen, sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Sing, amen, amen, sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Rejoice, amen, amen. Glory.
Oh my goodness.
When the Lord shall come again, let the people sing, amen, amen. When the Lord shall come again, let the people sing, amen, amen. Sing, amen, amen, sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Sing, amen, amen, sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Let the people sing, amen, amen. Man, you may be seated.
So I guess the cat is out of the bag that I haven't been well lately, but good enough to be here this morning and to present to you a sermon that I read a few days ago, and I liked it. And normally I really don't use other people's sermons, but I was so down myself that I couldn't really think to put one together. So in this season of thinking about how God has come into the world, and more importantly, in many ways, that he's coming back, I saw this one. It's written by a guy named Montague Williams. He's a professor of church, culture, and society at Point Loma Nazarene University. He's authored one book called Church in Color, Youth Ministry, Race, and the Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. And he has written a sermon which oftentimes what folks focus on this particular week is preparation or waiting, preparing for Jesus to come, waiting for Jesus to come back. And a lot of times the character that they focus on in this week is John the Baptizer. And that's what he has done here. So I'm going to read the text that he has prepared, and then from that point on, it's what he's got to say, and then I'll conclude a bit. But he starts, the text is Matthew 3, 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." My spouse and I have two young children, and we join the daily cacophony of adults who remind kids, "Tell the truth." Sometimes we even do it in that caring but we mean it voice our friends seem to have perfected in some secret parenting masterclass. When our kids get a bit older, I suspect their third and fourth grade teachers will guide them through fact or opinion worksheets, just as my teachers did for me. As they journey through their teenage years and into young adulthood, I hope we'll have the kind of conversations that help them be honest with themselves about who they are and where they find joy and how they discern calling and vocation. Adults pour a lot of energy into helping children and young people tell the truth. I think we do this because we know how difficult it is to discern and tell the truth in a world full of alternative facts and noisy, market-driven grabs at our attention. In our gospel passage, John the Baptist offers an incisive word of truth in the form of information and an urgent imperative to follow. The information is that the kingdom of heaven has come near. The imperative is to prepare for the kingdom through repentance and baptism. As John relies on words such as vipers, wrath, and fire to make his point, the passage can ring with a haunting tone that seems disconnected from the Advent season in which we encounter it. However, it is important to recognize that at the heart of his message is a direct word that cuts through the noise. It is possible to be part of the kingdom of heaven here and now, and this calls for a way of being that reflects what Jesus is about. In our society, in which it is common to argue about opinions like they are facts and dismiss verifiable data like it's all a matter of opinion, hearing such a clear guide is hopeful good news. John's urgent call to repent and be baptized is not just for a cognitive recognition of wrongdoing, it's for an embodied reorientation of whole lives toward the way of Jesus. John may not yet fully understand what Jesus is about, but when we consider Jesus' teachings throughout Matthew's gospel, we can be assured that John's call is ultimately a liberating invitation to righteousness and justice, one that challenges the assumptions of the elite and prioritizes the cares and concerns of the excluded. It makes sense that John is shocked and frustrated that Pharisees and Sadducees have found out about the baptism and are showing up at the Jordan. Despite their positional authority, many of them do not display the kind of life John sees fit for the kingdom of heaven. Some Pharisees pushed a heavy burden of self-sufficiency and performance on the community, while the Sadducees rejected the idea of resurrection, an idea that implied the assurance of justice for the poor and excluded. Representatives of either group might be out of step with the people from Jerusalem throughout Judea and all around the Jordan who enter the waters out of a need for God's help and a desire for hope. So when John sees an unexpected, strangely paired group of religious leaders coming his way, he may be concerned, thank you, that their presence will create fear and confusion among the crowd. He responds with the kind of truth-telling befitting of a prophet dressed like Elijah. John's sharp words are instructive for the church today. In my research, I found that many young people who leave Christian faith are in search of the kind of community they learned about in church. They have become deeply interested in the God found in Scripture, but have had too many encounters with churches or church leaders that seem to contradict that God. In many ways, they are leaving church to find church. John's words are intense, but they offer an insight we should take to heart. The lifelong work of discerning truth takes a commitment to bearing a certain kind of fruit. We find this fruit described in the Beatitudes. It's the fruit of mercy and peacemaking. It's hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness. It's a pure heart. It's courage and resilience to live the Jesus way. As John points to the way of Jesus, he's pointing listeners to pursue deep, world-changing communion with communities that have been disenfranchised, ignored, and forgotten. How this looks for different listeners today will depend on our social starting points and the dynamics of our neighborhoods, but the direction is clear. It is truth worth telling. A few years ago, when I was finishing up my degree, I read a book called Caring for Words in a Culture of Lies. I would just recommend it to you. It's a great book. And in this book, the author, Marilyn Chandler McIntyre, makes the argument that not only have we become a culture of lies, where things that are verifiably false are oftentimes said with like no blushing at all, but that even when truth is told, it's still spun, and that just straightforward truth would stand out in the midst of this as just being out of place. You would see people who recognize as true things that make them uncomfortable, who recognize as true things that don't make them look good, who recognize as true things that means they lose. You know, it's not always that the ref blew the final call. A lot of times it means we just didn't make the play. You know, that's a truth-telling orientation that our culture just doesn't have. And I'm not blaming our culture, American culture, any more than other Western cultures or Asian cultures or whatever. I'm convinced that it's a human thing, that humans generally don't tell truth. And when they do tell truth, they spin it as best as they can to their own perspectives, their own desires, their own needs. One of the ways that we prepare for Jesus' return is becoming people who crave and pursue truth, who just tell truth. Not my preference, not my choice, not for my comfort, just the cold, hard truth, if it is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way we'll ever find him if we don't care about truth. Well, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We are now going to sing an invitation song. If anybody has wanted to make a response to the gospel invitation, we encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.
All right, church. Testing? Okay. So, before we sing the song, I just want to quickly let you know that it is going to switch to the chorus of a different song. And then it's going to switch back. I will be singing each part. And the most wonderful thing about worship is that we're glorifying God. So even in all the many mistakes I make, we are here for God and worshiping. And he knows our hearts. And he knows our voice. So let us worship to God together.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom,
with power, and wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom,
power, and wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom,
power, and wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Our God is an awesome
God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom,
power, and love.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
Before we have our closing prayer, just a couple quick announcements. We are still waiting to hear some word back from Mountain Mission on a service opportunity you mentioned a week or two ago. But I do want to go ahead and invite everyone on December the 15th. The men's class is canceled on that Thursday evening, and we want to invite anyone to come to the church building at 6:30, and we will be assembling some gift baskets and taking those to folks who are shut in. Probably start with folks in our congregation, but also if you know of folks that could use an uplifting gift, just let us know. And so anyone who wants to come and help assemble those and deliver those on December the 15th, it's a Thursday evening, we'll meet here at 6:30 and do that. So we have a lot of folks that are sick. We have a lot of folks that have family members that are really struggling with illnesses. Let's check on each other. Let's love and support each other. And just especially during the holidays, it's tough. So we want to keep these people lifted up in our prayers, but also check on them, check on each other, and support each other. Let's pray. Father God, you truly are awesome, and we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together with other believers and spend time together praying to you, focusing on your word, learning more about your wisdom and your plan of salvation for us. And, you know, as the world stops during this time of the year and pauses and focuses on the birth of Christ, we just pray that we can take advantage of that opportunity to witness to others, to serve others, and to bring others through your truth to Jesus. And we just pray that we live out what we learn here together. Help us to be involved in each other's life. Help us to grow closer together and closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.